Well, good morning, and I'm going to start by asking you to crack open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, which Judith and Isaiah read for us earlier. We'll be going there together. If you're going to use a pew Bible, you can find it on page 946. And have a look, too. Behind me, you can see a fern frond. This is an image which we've actually, and Judith Cook replicated it for us. So when you come up for communion, have a look. It is we're blessed with two Advent candle wreaths this year. So we have our traditional one on top of the font, and then a second one behind me, which is shaped in the shape of a fern frond. And I'll talk about it a little bit more in the weeks to come. We're using a resource that was developed by the Presbyterian Church in New Zealand. And at this time of year, they're experiencing spring. So their fern fronds are coming out of the ground beautifully. I imagine, I've never been to New Zealand. I would love to go there, but I imagine that's what's happening. But it is this Maori symbol of everlasting, with you can imagine the shape that has no end, a symbol of green, of evergreen, again, of everlasting life. They're themes and symbols of that remind us of who Jesus is, who the one who comes to bring us everlasting life, just in the same way we have evergreen trees at Christmas for that same reason. I want to acknowledge this resource that we'll be using over these next 4 weeks. It's from the Worship Together Advent Intergenerational Resource. As well, for my sermon today, I relied as well on the Calvin Seminary Center for Excellence in Preaching. They have a great resource that I often go to, and I did for this week as well, so I wanted just to acknowledge their hard work that made my work easier. Today we mark the first Sunday of Advent together. The season of Advent is a time to prepare ourselves to approach the cradle of Jesus again. One part of Advent, and there are many aspects to Advent, one part of Advent is to look at the end of things, the eschaton, that's a Greek word for the end times, as well as the ongoing march of human history that will bring us to that end. It can be very tempting and normal to think about a very cute baby who's close at hand and who we want to cuddle and love. It can be very natural to enjoy the warmth of family meals around the table, of presents given and received. Why would we actually think about Jesus coming again or the second advent when we have this prospect of a very cute baby close at hand? Well, this is why we prepare for his coming again, even while we give thanks for his birth. And this is the reason. If Jesus is not going to return and complete the rescue of the world, then, friends, there is very little for us to celebrate in his birth in the first place. If Jesus does not rescue the world from sin and death, then Jesus' birth is a picture postcard worthy event only. That is it. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. I'd like to look with you at a painting. So, Rachel, would you go to the next slide, please? Have a look at the screen in front of you as you're able. What do you see? I open this up to you. What do you see? I know that there's a little bit of Steve had pity on you and he put Simeon and Anna. So this is a painting of Simeon and Anna. What do you see? Two people, two figures? They're looking upward. Okay, Marian sees them looking upward.
Blurry.
They're blurry. They're blurry. Nice one, Marcus. They're holding each other, standing very close for sure.
The front line is holding
something. Okay, the front figure is holding something. Yes? We're not at... The one behind looks like a man? Yeah, so kind of, I would say ambiguous, eh? Yeah, and Colleen is saying that one of the figures is holding their hand in a certain position, yeah? Absolutely. So, and Colleen, I'm glad you brought that up for... Now, I haven't spoken to the artist. The artist is somebody called Fife Blair. Now, I understand this hand symbol, which I'm seeing here, so three fingers held with a circle. I've also seen it in my time wandering art galleries where religious paintings where there'll be a figure holding either three fingers or two fingers. I'm not an art historian, so I don't want to mislead you, but what I see is three in one, so a symbol of the Trinity. There. So either this person is giving us three fingers to show us the Trinity, three fingers and one, or this is another way to do it where the three fingers are put together in a circle. If you do go to art galleries and look at religious art, you will often see that hand gesture. So have a look. A symbol of the Trinity of God, perhaps a symbol of peace, holding a hand open, I don't know. And I read in the presentation of this piece of art that actually the figure who's also holding their hand has a wooden cross in their other hand, a symbol of pain, a symbol of death, a symbol of resurrection and hope. What if I told you that the color of blue is often associated with heaven and the kingdom of God? What if I told you that red is a color of humanity and resurrection? What about white symbolizing purity? Yellow, the presence of God, and hints of green, which speak of hope and new life. The artist, I think, is showing us Simeon and Anna as quiet and humble characters. They're almost in the background. So as Marcus was saying, their faces are blurry. We don't get a strong sense of who they are. The artist has painted Simeon and Anna, so it's very deliberate. So the artist is giving us two figures who are humble and quiet, almost in the background of the story. Yet in this moment in Luke's gospel, they are anything but background. They are right at the center of things. So let's move now to our reading, the text of our reading, Luke 2, chapter 21. Okay, guys, how long has Simeon been waiting? How long has Anna been waiting? Have a look at your scriptures there, scripture in front of you. What can you see? How long has Simeon been waiting? Let's start with him. I don't think we get a number here, but what might give us an indication of how long he's been waiting? I hear whispers. Come on. Yeah. So what? So Marian's saying for much of his life. Why might you think that, Marian? So yes. So what verse is that, Mary? Verse 26. So look at 26. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he was waiting, and he was waiting. He knew that he would see, he'd been told by God that he would see the Messiah before he died. Okay, so we get a sense he's been waiting for a while. We don't know exactly. Excellent. Let's move to Anna. This is for the mathematicians among you. Anna. From verse 36 onward, she was very old.
About 15 plus 7 plus 84.
Yes, thank you, mathematician. See, You jumped at my bait there, Roz. Roz is very good with math. So so how did you get that? How did you get that, Roz? Roz says 15 plus 7 plus 84. So what's your...
I guess she got married around 15.
So she got married around 15.
She had her husband for 7.
She was married for 7. And then he died, and then she's been a widow for 84 years. So what's that number?
106.
So here, she's 106. But we know that she's been a widow and waiting on God for 84 years in the temple. So they have both been waiting for some considerable amount of time. How did they wait for so long? How could they be so certain that Jesus would come? And how could they be so certain who he was when he actually did appear? It looks to me like they dedicated their life to God. Not gross dedicated, like, look at me, this is all, look at all the good things I'm doing. But they lay their life down. They are ready and waiting, but also active in prayer. And God has blessed them with the presence of the Holy Spirit within them. We know that Anna has been fasting and praying in the temple. And one of the, when I was researching, one of the people I read said that fasting could be seen as a deliberate departure from social norms, right? Especially in Luke, you know, we will have in Luke's gospel meals that really are important, significant meals, right, when people gather together. And to fast is a protest, an assertion that all is not well with the world, an expression of her hope, a form of prayer, asking God to act and set things right. Simeon and Anna are both waiting for salvation. That's eschatological salvation. And that's my biggest word of the day, eschatological. So Simeon is waiting for the consolation or comfort of Israel. That is the restoration of Israel under God. And Anna also waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem from an oppressive empire. So if you look at verses 25 and 38, verse 25, there was a man called Simeon. He was waiting. And then verse 38, coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption. Now, the NIV, he has smoothed it out, but I understand that the Greek words are the same. Waiting, Simeon's waiting. Anna is also telling people who are waiting. This word waiting has an eschatological meaning, i.e., you're not waiting for the bus. You're not waiting for the bread to be done in the oven. You are waiting for God to come back and make all things right. You are waiting for the Messiah to come. That kind of waiting. Advent waiting. And they are ready. So that when Jesus arrives with his mom and dad, Anna and Simeon know exactly that he is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and they praise God. This is the long-awaited one, the one who brings shalom, peace to the world. Simeon can now die knowing that he has seen the promised one, the one who will rescue the world. I want to, though, jump forward. So we got this, all of this, what we've just read, right? Let's jump forward through Jesus' ministry, his death, and resurrection. Can you, with me in your mind's eye, remember the couple of people who are walking along the road to Emmaus? Remember, they're a couple of friends walking along, and they are brokenhearted. Now, do you remember why they're brokenhearted? They had hoped. And their hope was crushed. They are brokenhearted because they had hoped that Jesus was the one who would free Israel, redeem Israel. But instead, they had watched his torture and death. Their hope was crushed. But he was. Jesus came to them and ministered to them and opened up scripture to them and proved, showed them who he was. They broke bread together. They spent time together. Then their hope was restored. But we still have that question today, hey? Who is this Jesus? Can this lowly baby really pull off the rescue of the world? Can he save me from sin and death? Can he give us hope in the reality of our real, gritty, bloody lives? And so, as I close, looking at this painting, if you were to paint yourself this Advent time, what would your painting look like? What colors would you use? What symbols would you have in your hands? What in your life needs restoring, rescuing? And what is your role in preparing for the return of the Messiah? And so as we close, I'm going to pray a hymn that I believe we're going to sing a little bit later. Pray with me, please, as you're able. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Amen.